ever find yourself traveling Highway 97 in Northern California, be sure to check out the Living Memorial Sculpture Garden. I was impressed by the thought that went into the planning and layout. The open, natural landscaping of sagebrush and intermittent trees provide the backdrop, so to speak. In the immediate rounded parking area, you'll find a memorial wall on which names of U.S. and Allied veterans are added to every year on Memorial and Veterans Days. As you walk, well, you could drive, but it's short, so you really should walk it. A gravel road with offshoots of individual sculptures. World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Wounded Warriors, the Hawaii Group, nurses coming home, POW MIA, and those left behind, with a few plaques to individuals. What I loved most about it as a whole is that all the sculptures weren't clumped together, that each was allowed its own space for the respect each group deserved. Even if you weren't directly affected by the Vietnam War, Robin Williams' amazing riff in Good Morning Vietnam still kicks ass. Of course, Motown was represented in the film soundtrack. I mean, how could it not be? Motown on Mondays, aka Mom, also kicks ass, musically speaking. Never heard of it? Well, back in 2009, on a Monday evening, a Motown soul party was so popular it segued into an explosion of dance parties across the country. DJs bring not only Motown to the house, but also soul, funk, and disco, with new and classic remixes and edits. I spoke with some Sacramento Motown on Mondays folk, Ginny Jester, Chris Hopkins, and DJ Epic. So, Ginny, you first experienced Motown on Mondays in San Francisco, where it originated, right?
I did, and I fell absolutely head over heels in love. I spent probably about $100 every single Monday because I didn't have a car at the time. So I'd have to rent a Zip car, and then I'd have to find a place to stay, and then I'd have to beg the door guys to let me in because there's always a line around the corner by 9 o'clock. But it was really worth it because it was so much fun. Everybody was smiling and happy and dancing, and it's this tiny bar that's packed with dancing people and the best attitude. So it was super fun.
Do you remember how you heard about it?
You know what? I was down there. Chris and I were actually split up at the time. So I had all this free time, and he had the kids half the week, and I had the kids half the week. And I really didn't know anybody here in Sacramento, and I moved up here from San Francisco, and I really wanted to go home, but I couldn't really afford to, and we've built kids' lives here. So I would just go down there and try and find things to do. And I think I was just driving down Divisadero, and I saw this line out the door, and I thought, well, I have to figure out what that is. Like, that's got to be something awesome. So I parked and I went in, and I was just asking everybody in line what they were waiting for. And then when I heard the word Motown, like they're like, "Oh, this is Motown on Mondays. This is everybody wants to be here." And just the fact that it was Motown was just so cool to me because everything is like this grungy, gritty, bassy stuff, and it kind of all sounds the same after a while. So, I went in, I checked it out, I introduced myself to the DJs, and I just like fell in love, pretty much how it happened.
So when did you share it with Chris and said, "Hey, this is something that we have to do?"
We didn't plan on throwing this party up here at all. I went down and interviewed the guys on my podcast because I was really interested in doing like a Northern California art, music, and culture podcast. And at the time, I was switching formats. I had been audio only for like 5 years. And that just seemed like it was not working for me. My host was changing all of the, it became extremely expensive, and I wasn't wanting to charge for the podcast, all these details. So I wanted to do video, and I had the opportunity to interview Dessa of a hip hop group called Doomtree when they were here for Launch Sacramento in 2013. And that was really, I really loved that experience of getting to talk to artists and just kind of plugging into music culture more, and I was raised around music, and so that felt really natural for me. So I was really excited to have my first video art, music, culture podcast be on this like amazing party with these really nice DJs, those two things you almost never find together. Like, they're so humble, they're so kind, they're really genuinely just down for people and having a good time. And I think that that's what Motown is all about. Like, that's why people love Motown, that's why, like, people love that party. So I went down there, I interviewed them on video, and actually that night our car got broken into by the time Chris and I were back together. And the podcast was stolen. Like, my iPad, all my equipment was stolen out of the trunk of the car because we went to a show later that night. It was this horrible thing. So, like, 6 months later, we went back and recorded. And it was at that time that Donovan, one of the founders, asked me if we would be willing to bring it up to Sacramento, or just kind of threw it out there and said, you know, if you guys want to bring it up there, like, we're expanding. So I said, well, I mean, I know this one spot, and I know the guy who owns the spot, and it's probably the only spot that I would want to bring it to. So I don't know, I can talk to them and see what's what. And we produced the podcast and talked to the guys at Lowbrow and just kind of connected everyone. And then we had the mom DJs come up and see the place and meet the owner. And the owner suggested Epic to us, and we really trust him, so we knew that we were going to be getting somebody good if we followed through. And then it all just kind of organically came together, but we totally didn't plan on running this party. Like, we kind of thought that we were just connecting points, and then, you know, we'd go back to what we were doing. And the night that we launched, Clay, the owner, who kind of runs the whole venue up here, basically told us, like, okay, so this is your job, this is what we need you to do every week, and this is... Hooray, here you go. So, I mean, we were thrilled because we love the party and what it is, but we really didn't plan on any of it, really. We had no idea the party would be coming up here. We had no idea we'd be so involved with the party. It just kind of happened, so...
Now, for those considering throwing moms in their part of the country or world, mm-hmm. I should say, what are the practical approaches? Now, you already knew some great DJs. I mean, you had an idea already for a location. But if somebody started from scratch, what would you suggest? As far as location first or DJ first?
I think it's really first getting to know the actual core of mom. In an ideal world, if those people or that person had the opportunity to travel to San Francisco and see what they're doing there, it really is worth it. I've met, like, 80-year-old Japanese couples who, when they travel to San Francisco from Japan, always go to Motown on Mondays. I met Dave Chappelle. I've met local pimps that lived in the neighborhood for, like, 50 years. I've met 20-year-old programmers who were in there on fake IDs. Like, every single person that you can imagine is there because this vibe is so relatable. And it's something that's so much part of, like, our culture, you know? So I think that in an ideal world, if a person could really experience what's happening in San Francisco, that would be the best way to go. If that's not possible, then I think it really is the kind of thing that is best left to someone who really appreciates, like, DJ culture and music culture. Because it is this really awesome network of people all around the country who are part of this party, and they're helping each other out, and they're sharing music edits together, and they're sharing experiences, and sharing what works for the party and what doesn't work for the party, and they've created this tour network that's always available. So I think really the key to success for this party is going to be someone who's really connected to people who have their heart and soul in music.
Now, what have you noticed, Chris?
Well, I don't think a single one has started with DJs that the SF DJs didn't already know. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, they gotta vet everyone, and they definitely have gone through it. And everyone in every city, from New York City to Miami to Atlanta to Seattle to Honolulu, you know, like, all these cities have all been DJs that the DJs knew from the San Francisco one.
Or were connected to. I mean, it's people who put themselves out there to connect with the guys, you know, even people that they didn't know, like us. It's about people who they just feel are really about it, and they spend some time putting themselves out there and connecting.
Well, the only reason I was bringing that up is I don't think you could just hit them up from across the country and be like, I want to start a mom, and have them not know who you were or ever meet you. You know, like, they definitely want to vet you. I mean, even Epic had to come play a set, like, before we started it down in San Francisco, you know, and he killed it, so it was all good. So, yeah. You know,
but... They are the gatekeepers.
Yeah, they definitely... They run a tight ship, you know, and that's what keeps it quality all across the whole network. I think there's 18 cities now. Mm-hmm. And
And they're looking to expand to Europe, I think.
They have some, they're in talks with some DJs that they know, but even then, it's DJs they know that
right.
live in Europe, you know, like, I mean, yeah, they played, like, Donovan, the founder, he played an opening party for the International Bahamas Film Festival, you know, and, like, so, and he's, like, he's got to open up for DJ Shadow and Cut Chemist, like, a few months ago, like, it's really starting to take off for him, and they're really picky about the branding and design, too.
Well,
like,
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they you got to use their logo. They, when you first start doing your design for your city, they want to see it all first. But they want to improve everything. They want to thumbs up it all. So, I mean, that was another thing. And if you look across the network, it is pretty much good design in every mm-hmm. single city.
They do a good job of maintaining the integrity of the party throughout
yeah.
because they are so, like, picky.
Yeah.
Now, is this
for
an
sure.
income source for somebody to look at, not just somebody having a good time?
For the DJs it is.
Yeah.
For the DJs it is. I mean, for us, it's helped us to build our business and our opportunities in other ways because we have to be networking every Monday night and we've got to be making sure everybody has what they need and organizing. And so it's forced us to be more members of our community than we were before. And that has had impact on all of the creative things that we do in roundabout ways. But, I mean, there have been nights when the DJs make really good money, and there have been nights when we all make pittance.
Yeah.
I think that really before the motivation of making money, it's got to be about, like, a love and a passion for what it is.
The mom dudes in SF wouldn't even go for it if somebody was just in it for the money either,
yeah.
you know?
So let's cue the DJ. DJ Epic.
How's it
How
going?
Did you get involved in all this?
Well, like they met, like Virginia mentioned, they... We're already in talks with Clay at Lowbrow, and he surprisingly recommended me because I didn't know him very well.
Highly recommended.
Yeah. See, that's awesome. I'd actually DJed at Lowbrow once or twice in the past, and I take it he liked what I did because I'd never really talked to him before. But yeah, they hit me up via Facebook and mentioned the theme of the party and that they were thinking about bringing it to Sacramento, and I actually had never heard of Mom before that. So I looked it up and I was in love with the concept from the beginning, but quite frankly, I was a little skeptical on it working in Sacramento just because it seems like, you know, we had an uphill battle being a Monday and
this is a quasi conservative town. And
it is
slower and catching up.
Exactly. And I mean, the musical concept of it is so undeniable and so universal that everyone can relate to it. But me coming from more of a hip-hop background, as far as the events that I do, I just was a little skeptical at first, but I loved it, and so I was like, I'm totally into this, you know, let's do it.
Hip-hop has a Motown foundation. So
it does, it definitely does.
You can't have one and not the other.
Oh, exactly. But the direction that hip-hop has gone over the last, you know, five to 10 years is kind of a little less soulful, I want to say, as far as mainstream
yeah.
stuff. So I'm used to DJing a lot of those type of events, and I was like, well, I'm totally down to do this, but I don't, is it gonna work? And they were like, it's gonna work. So we gave it a try, and it's been awesome from day one.
So how did you put together your first playlist?
You gotta tell the story of San Francisco.
Well,
because that's pretty
Chris and Virginia were like, you know, you gotta roll with us to San Francisco and let's go check it out. So about 5 minutes before we leave, Donovan, the founder, sends me a message saying, hey, do you want to play a set tonight? And I'm like, okay. So I bring my laptop and I'm making this set just because I love soul music. So I already had a lot of the music in my crates to begin with. So I'm putting together my set in the computer, and I go and DJ blindly, and it was awesome. I never had a platform to play that kind of music before, especially in Sacramento. I've never had a platform in this part, you know, the mom party in San Francisco is insane as far as the turnout you get in this tiny little building. People packed in there and just, it was awesome. It was beautiful. I loved it.
And it was all
I was
love,
sold
too.
On it.
Yeah.
They
yeah, yeah.
loved you. I
and
mean,
they
loved
they were
you.
Just, the people weren't biased. Like, they weren't like, oh, we don't know who this guy is. We're not gonna pay attention to a set. They just embraced me. So it was...
Even Donovan, the founder, he said that Epic played the best first time set he'd ever heard anybody play for Mom. Like,
yeah, because like I said, I went in blindly. I didn't really
yeah.
know exactly. I knew the kind of what the format was, but I didn't know if I could stray away from... Because we play... The format is Motown music. That's the basis. But also close cousins and relatives to Motown, which would be other non-Motown music that has the same feel and vibe to it.
R&B.
R&B, soul, funk, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So what did you have in your crate to introduce the new crowds to that you were a little...
Well... Everything from Stevie Wonder to Kool and the Gang to Mayor Hawthorne and Amy Winehouse, just a plethora of different things, but mainly, you know, classic funk and soul music for the most part.
So what was your time that you were working with to put something together?
To put, for the first night, or, oh, probably had about 45 minutes to prepare it in the car.
He was so nervous. We had to stop and meet with a friend and get coffee in North Beach. And I remember we stopped. There was this record store.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Are you okay?"
The basement record store. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just a little nervous. I haven't had a lot of time." I was like, you'll be fine. Don't worry." Yeah. But in the background, Chris and I were like, "God, if he can pull this off in this situation, that makes him like the extra hero."
You know, what was really funny about that night too was that was the first time we heard Epic DJ.
Yeah,
too.
Actually, right. They were. That was the weird thing is like, yeah, they weren't familiar with me. I wasn't familiar with them, and
yeah.
I wasn't even
we
familiar
had another
with
guy,
any of the mom DJs or founders.
Yeah, and we had Roger with us, another guy who throws a party on Tuesday nights at Lowbrow, who has a great ear, but he isn't exactly a DJ.
He's not the same.
He's
type
a
right.
DJ. He's just
yeah,
not a
right,
turntablist.
Right. Sorry. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And he ended up just. It ended up being clear that he wasn't right for the night. He knew it. They knew it because it was just a completely different relationship to DJing. So yeah, we were in this situation where it was very much like an audition without calling it an audition for everybody, and we had no idea that all of it pan out, you know. It was just like, wow, wouldn't this be so cool?
Yeah.
If we could, like, help this come here, you know, that it was very innocent for an unknown, I think, for everybody.
I was actually very surprised that I wasn't familiar with this night, being that it had been already going on for 5 years, and it's something that I would have totally been into if I would have known about it. But I had no clue. And it's amazing what they've been doing with this. I mean, expanding to even one other city.
Yeah,
or to even now they have two Motown on Mondays in San Francisco on the same night, two different venues. Because
it's so big,
it's
yeah.
so big, it's
and
it's crazy.
And also something crazy too was we started on June 30th and we were the 10th city, and now there's 18. So in the last 6 months, they've
yeah.
you know, like a few weeks after us was Seattle, and then Phoenix was shortly after that. And then I think Philadelphia and DC came in. Like it's been blowing up. I think Austin came in after us too.
Mm-hmm.
Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Portland just started like a month ago.
Yeah.
Musical avalanche.
Yeah.
It's interesting too because it I think like for us, we do lots of different things creatively, and we have had so much love everywhere else but Sacramento. And so for us to be involved in something creative and soulful that we love, that we like really genuinely love, that's being embraced here, I think says so much about where we are as a country even, you know, like what we're craving. Like people are wanting to connect to soul music. They're wanting to connect to good feelings and good vibes. And like we might have all this violence and this chaos and financial stress, but at the end of the day, people just want to like enjoy each other, you know. And it's I don't know, I think it's a really special thing.
I think that's one of the things that's undeniable about the concept is no matter how old you are, if you're 17 or if you're 70, you can't help but connect with that music when you hear it, even if you're not familiar with it. I think everybody's familiar with the Jackson 5, but anytime that music comes on, you see 21-year-olds dancing to it, and you'll see, like I said, people in their 60s.
There are people who know Michael, but they don't know the Jackson.
They don't, but they just know the songs. They've heard the songs
before.
I mean,
look at Kanye West allegedly introducing Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that was the funniest thing I've seen.
This country has a very sad history, the history of their music. And it's
definitely.
Contemporary music.
There were a bunch of jokes online after the Super Bowl. They're all, Katy Perry about to blow Missy Elliott up.
Yeah.
They were joking about
yeah,
the contract. Monday.
She's been out for 20 years already.
One thing that's awesome about Motown on Mondays, too, is we get to just really have fun with it. Like, our launch party, we had a party bus come up from San Francisco that was, like, 50 deep, and they DJed the whole way there and the whole way back to San Francisco.
And it was all their best fans. Like, people that just go party at the San Francisco party hopped in this bus and came and celebrated with us.
And then we had, like, a Michael Jackson birthday party, and we had, like, a moonwalking competition on that night and gave drink tickets out. You know, we've had two Motown dance classes. You know, we did one a month and a half ago. We did one last week.
Last night, we launched a vinyl exchange.
Yeah, last night.
We do monthly.
We had three different people come out with a couple crates each of vinyl. So we had a big long table filled up with records for sale last night. Like,
nice.
We just get to do a lot of really fun stuff, like with the Motown on Mondays, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's also great, because those vinyls that were probably in the 25-cent bin
now
are going to be worth a little bit more money, which is awesome, bringing those old artists, classic artists, back into the limelight where they belong.
Exactly.
They should never have left.
Jessica, Epic's girlfriend, and I are actually going to start nurturing this vinyl exchange on the first Mondays of the month into, like, a well-curated art, culture, and music market, you know? So I really want to find people who are doing, like, zines or anything that's focusing on music culture. Like, I remember working at Tower Records when I was 15 and, like, having my mind blown trying to find information about artists and, like, what influenced this album or where it was recorded. And that's just not part of music culture anymore, because we have instant downloads and you can buy a song at a time. You don't even have to know who anyone is to like a song. So I think that, like, one of our goals with that will be to, like, foster some of this music culture, like, get people talking about music and musicians again, and get people wanting to find obscure old stuff again and enjoy, like, what goes into this industry for people, you know, especially with soul music.
3 weeks ago, we had a guest DJ launch his funk mixtape there too, DJ Oasis, called What the Funk, and he released it, and he was handing them out to the crowd and stuff like that. He played a set. That was a lot of fun, too.
It was a great set, too.
Yeah.
So what did you play last night?
Last night,
give my listeners a little taste.
Everything from Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, to Amy Winehouse, You Know I'm No Good. I like to play a lot of Rick James, a lot of Rick James stuff. A lot of forgotten, like, 80s Motown stuff that doesn't necessarily have the same Motown sound that people think of. Daz Band, Kool and the Gang, I love to play a lot of that. I like to play...
The new Bruno Mars song,
surprisingly, is a huge hit at that night. I don't know if you're familiar with that song, Uptown Funk.
Mm-hmm.
That song's, even though it's a pop song, it has that early 80s soul funk feel. Yeah, it's like a more stay in the time song.
Well, I remember Bruno reintroduced James Brown's
definitely.
With a split, so of course it's not surprising that he'd have a song.
Also, last night, Epic played a lot of vinyl.
And the
other DJs did too, and they all played some vinyl that they bought from the people that were selling vinyl records, like, at the event.
Yeah, because nowadays with technology, a lot of DJs use a program called Serato, where you can play MP3s through the turntables. I'm not very good at explaining the technical side, but you're still using turntables.
MP3s are played through vinyl?
It's special... vinyl that's coded for MP3s to play through it, and you have the mixer actually converts the signal, and you use it. I mean, I'm actually using turntables like I would with regular vinyl, but
I'm a purist.
I totally feel you on that. It's the problem is nowadays stuff isn't really pressed up on vinyl as much, so any newer music that comes out,
music that is being released on vinyls.
Yeah, there is, but not everything.
No, of course not. Yeah, it's not practical.
Yeah, and it does, I will say it opens up a lot of opportunities for DJs to have more music on hand, because I could fit 50,000 songs in my computer rather than, you know, carrying two crates of records. But yeah, last night I did about a 30-minute all vinyl set, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Until a couple records start skipping, but...
Just what we had to deal with the first time around.
Yeah, exactly. I started off on vinyl, so... I'm definitely no stranger to it.
So tell me some of your early vinyls when you were a kid.
My early vinyl, I think one of my first pieces of vinyl was Freakazoid by Midnight Star. And Run DMC, It's Like That. I think UTFO, Roxanne, were a couple of them. Beastie Boys. Commodores. I remember having the 45s.
Brick House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. We play that. That's a Motown song.
I saw on one of your DJs on his Facebook page, he'd mentioned that he was surprised, got the reaction to the did. One ad. I think it was one ad.
Oh, yeah. That's Billy Lane. Yeah. He plays that song every week.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. That's a regular for him.
Yeah, I remember hearing that first time around. Then I couldn't get out of my head for 2 days.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Well, I love that all these Motown on Mondays, even though they aren't every week. Sometimes it's just once a month, and sometimes it's twice. But periodically, they're all lined up like the planets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're all playing on the same night. It's like this universal, cosmic...
It's most of them are, but there's a few of them that aren't, I think, aren't weekly.
Yeah.
Thankfully ours is.
Yeah.
You get a weekly fix.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I think that's a huge draw for people here, too, is that you feel like you're part of a movement, which is amazing. Because, I mean, I think a natural reaction to something like this would be like, oh, they're franchising, or, you know, there's an easy kind of psychology of going into, oh, they're just trying to, like, capitalize on this. And that, I mean, that's part of it because it's an industry, but also it's really transparent. Like, it's really clear that people that are doing this and involved with it are doing it because they love it so much. So when people come, whether you're there attending or you're there bartending or you're there DJing or you're running a party, you feel like you're part of this movement that's happening like across the country that's changing people. It's changing environments and it's changing like social codes. It's the coolest thing, you know? And I think even in our little quiet city of Sacramento where people don't always get involved or there can be like hesitation or apathy, there's just, you can't not have passion evoked from something like Motown on Mondays.
Music is healing.
Mm-hmm. It is. I always call Mondays, like, the dance floor is my church. You know, it's like...
Universal liars, they say.
Amen.
I definitely think out of all the... I've been DJing for about 20 years and actively DJing in the scene since the early 2000s. And I think out of anything I've ever done, this has definitely received the most praise and the most... People have embraced it more than anything I've ever... been a part of on a regular basis.
What is some of the specific feedback you received?
Well, 2 or 3 months in, we won a Best of Sacramento award in the News and Review.
Which we didn't even know.
Yeah. We voted for and won that.
Yeah. My aunt posted on Facebook and tagged me in it. We gotta go get a News and Review, you know? Like,
that was a cool
thing. That's one thing for sure. And like I said, I've just had random people come in that have, like people that are visiting Sacramento.
Yeah.
Older people that are like, man, this is so awesome. I haven't heard these songs since I was in my early 20s. And this is just so great that you guys are doing this every week. I'm going to come back when I'm in town.
Yeah.
Or people that I've known for years that have came out to some of my other events. But once this started, it's like they're there every week. And they're like, man, this is my, like she said, this is my church.
Yeah.
I have to come every Monday now. And even for me, it's just I've been looking for a platform to do this. And thankfully they contacted me and. This is just probably my favorite event I've ever been a part of.
It's like Middle C. It brings you back to center.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever crap is going on in your life, you're back to center on Monday night.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. For us, you know, we have like a bunch of things going on, and sometimes we're like, God, we have this Motown on Mondays thing in like 3 hours. I just want to sleep. Ah! But we get there, and we always are so thankful that it's built into our lives that we have to go enjoy Motown on Mondays. We have to. It's our job. We're responsible for it. It's done wonders for us in our own lives to give us that. And, like, for me, just accepting being here in Sacramento, it's made it a lot easier for me to just be at peace with, okay, this is where I'm going to be while my kids grow up, instead of going home to the Bay, you know?
Now, I have to assume, I know you're not supposed to assume, but I have to assume that you would like to visit other cities that are doing this so you can see their vibe.
Most definitely. I would like, as a DJ, I would like to be able to not only attend them just to watch, but I'd love to be able to DJ at every single one of them. You know.
Which is part of what Mom is doing. Like, they're trying to get together some of the concepts going around, or like getting a tour bus together, a tour van together, or they just keep it really open too. So if you're a DJ in the network and you're traveling, like, you're always welcome to come stop by and throw down a set. Like, it's very accommodating that way.
I was talking to Donovan a couple weeks ago too, and he was saying that soon they were thinking about trying to have like a Northern California like summit up here in Sacramento, where they brought DJs from the San Jose one, the Oakland one, one and the San Francisco one, and they all came up here on a Monday night and played.
A mom summit.
Yeah.
Like it.
That would be cool.
So do I. So do I.
Now, of course, my mental jukebox won't shut off, so until the next Motown on Monday rolls around, I'll have to settle for and crank up my Motown Pandora stations. Do something different. At the next classic car show, ask one of the car owners to give you a ride.